are jumping into a new series, for the year. We're gonna go through five books this year. If you're new here, my name is Jeremy. I work here. We are normally at Capstone Church, we're walking verse by verse through books of the Bible. And today we start a new book. We're gonna start with Philippians, okay? Last year we looked at the book of Acts, which is the spread of the beginning of the church, and how we talked about how it just continues on in that. And Paul went on these missionary journeys, and he went to these towns and he started these churches. Some of the churches he wrote letters to, and some of those letters are in the Bible, okay? And so we're going to read. These aren't all the letters Paul wrote in the Bible. He probably wrote hundreds and hundreds of letters. These are the ones that we have in the canon of Scripture, and so we're going to learn from them. So the first one is Philippians. He wrote a letter to the church at Philippi. We call them books, but they're letters, okay? And so we're going to just look through them and study them and hopefully learn from them and learn from Paul's example in these letters, okay? There is two passages I want you to see before we jump in here. In Philippians chapter 3, he tells them, he says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And so what I want you to see, particularly this week, well, really the whole time, is I want you to notice Paul's heart. Notice his prayers. Notice how he is toward these other Christians that he's writing these letters to. And man, that is an example for you and for me to follow. The thing you're going to notice in this passage, and really the book of Philippians, is Paul's joyful and he is thankful, okay? He is joyful for the work that God is doing in these people's lives and through them, and he is thankful for their love. And man, that's my prayer for us as we get into 2022 and all the craziness has been going on around our lives and our world, is that you and I would focus on being thankful and being joyful for what the Lord has done, both in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Man, Paul is genuinely grateful for these brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not a superficial kind of thing. He's a deep longing and deep gratitude in his guts for these people. And man, I pray that we see that as an example and that you and I would follow in that in our walk with Jesus in 2022. Let's read Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. You've got a lot of notes, okay? And it's on the back of this if you want to grab that. And all I'm going to do is basically teach you how to read, is what I'm going to do for the next year, okay? Because I'm basically going to go, this is what this word means, okay? So it'll be a lot of fun. This is my favorite way to preach in these letters. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints," and I want you to notice the alls and the everys in this passage, "to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Man, what a great passage. What a great word here from Paul. A few things that I want you to get in the beginning of this and seeing his thankfulness and seeing his joy and the example that we have to follow. I want you to notice there's really two things going on here. There's an intro, right? Paul and Timothy, servants or slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints who are at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. He doesn't just write this letter to the leaders of the church. He's writing it to everyone, okay? He's writing it to all of them. And he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he's going to enter into this section of why he's thankful for them. And then at the end, he's going to tell them how he's praying for them. We're going to break that up into those two parts as well, okay? Talk about how what we see in Paul's thankfulness, and then we see in Paul's prayer. Paul's thankfulness, okay? What is he thankful for? The first thing he says he's thankful for, he says in verse 5 that he's thankful for their continued and faithful partnership in the gospel, right? They're thankful for that they have continued in their faithfulness because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The word partnership is also translated fellowship, okay? So if you're a nerd, it's the word where we get the word koinonia, okay? It's this word. There's this partnership that Paul is talking about is not just that they're giving him money. This isn't just like, hey, bro, thanks for the check, okay? He's saying, man, we're in the trenches together. Okay, there's a partnership in our life. I'm thankful that you have partnered with me. You're walking with Jesus, and we're in the trenches doing this thing together. Right, their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The second thing he's thankful for, he's thankful that God is continuing to work in them. Verse 6, right? He's thankful that God's not finished with them. That God is working in them. Verse 6 is Philippians 1:6 is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Because of the promise that's in it. It says, I am sure of this, he tells them, that God, he who began a good work in you, he will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Man, that is a fantastic promise for us. That the God who began this good work in us, that he is going to complete it. I read, and Kit Hughes was talking about this in his commentary, that was so good. He talked about how, he said, look, I'm not confident about a lot of things. There's many things I'm not confident about in myself. I'm not confident in my own goodness. I'm not confident in my own abilities. I'm not confident in my own character. There's plenty of things for me to not be confident about. But I can be absolutely confident of this, that God, who began working in my heart, he will complete it, right? He will complete the work that he has begun in me. I titled the sermon, He's Still Working on Me. Any of y'all sing that song when you were growing up? You don't have to raise your hand. It's still one of my favorite songs because I think about my favorite is the depth of the end of the song, right? The song says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week, and we can debate about that, to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. And the last line says, how loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. And we think about, when I think about God's patience with me, that he began this good work in me, he's going to bring it to completion, and he is patient with me even though I have not arrived, even though I am not good all the time, even though I still sin over and over and over and over again. How loving and patient he must be to know that he who began this good work in us, he will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Man, that's good news for me. That's good news for any sinner in the house, okay? Anybody that royally jacks it up sometimes and messes up. Anybody that just can completely screw something up. There's good news for you, okay? God isn't done with you. He is still working on you, and he will bring his work to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Third thing he's thankful for. He says, we're partakers of the same grace of God as Paul. Look at verse 6. He says that God's going to bring this to completion. It's right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. In verse 7, he says that we're all partakers of this same grace. We're all partakers of the same grace as Paul. Here's good news, okay? Paul didn't have more grace from God than you do. There's not like levels of grace that God gives. It's not like a pastor or a missionary or an elder or whatever has more grace than like a welder. That's not the same. We all have the same grace. We're all partakers of the same grace of God as Paul is. Okay, or to put it another way, the way older pastors used to put it, that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Okay, we all have the same access. We all have are partakers of the same grace as Paul is. Man, that's good news for them. That's good news for us. We're all partakers of the same grace. And then verse 8, he says, he loves them with the affection of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 8. He says, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. The word affection here is an interesting word. It's referring to his visceral organs, okay, his guts. It's referring to this deep longing. This is not, Paul says, man, this is how deeply I love you. I love you in my guts. This is not some superficial thing, but it's a deep, compassionate love that he has for them. And again, man, like when you hear that, that's I don't want you to go, oh, that's cool that Paul loves them that way. Yeah, it is cool that Paul loves them that way. And that's how we should love one another. Our love for one another should not be superficial. It should not be based on any kind of transactional love. Man, we should have a deep longing and love for one another, the way that Christ Jesus loves us. That's how Paul loves them. He is thankful for them. He loves them. And then next he's going to pray for them. Look back at verse 9, okay? Verse 9. Can we go back and read that? I'm sorry. My bad, Brian. That's on me. This is how I love you, okay? I love you like this, and this is what I pray for you. And I pray, he says, my prayer for you is that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, all to the glory and praise of God. Here's what he prays for them, okay? Three things really in the beginning that he prays for them. One, he prays that their love may abound more and more, right? Praying they would love one another more, and they would love God more. This overflowing love is first to God and then to one another. If we don't love God, we're not going to love each other. But we can't claim to love God and not love one another. For us to love one another well, we have to love God first and foremost. An overflowing love with God is going to overflow onto those around us. But we cannot claim to love God if we don't love our brothers. That type of love does not exist in the Bible for Christians. We are a people that should love God, and that love should abound more and more as we love God toward one another. He says, I pray that your love may abound more and more. And that their love may abound a certain way, okay? This is not just some googly-eyed Valentine's Day love, okay? It's not necessarily a Hallmark TV show, whatever kind of love. There's a certain kind of love that Paul is wanting them to abound in, right? I pray your love may abound more and more. In which way? With all knowledge, right? Pray that their love would abound with knowledge. Pray your love may abound more and more, that their love would abound with knowledge. And here's what he's saying here. This is not a sentimental kind of love. This is a knowledge of God love, okay? That their love would abound with knowledge, meaning this, okay? That the more truthfully you know who God is, the more you will love him, right? The more truthfully you know him, the more you'll love him, which is why we want to be faithful to know God through his word, right? It's this knowledge of God is not, again, it's not some sentimental, you know, saw a post on Instagram kind of thing, okay? This is not some God told me this. No, this is knowing God truthfully. And the more I know God, the more truthfully I know God, the more I will be in awe of him. Can I tell you, in the last 20 years or so, the more I've known God through his word, the more in awe I am of the fact that he loves me. The more in awe of the fact that I am, that he can do anything. Right? Like that didn't exist to the level it does today 20 years ago because I didn't know God as well 20 years ago as I know him right now. And hopefully, right, hopefully 20 years from now, I will know him even better. And that will cause me to love him even more. How do I do that, though? I have to do that with knowledge. I have to know God truthfully. Man, that's my prayer for us. We would know God truthfully. Not a sentimental kind of love for God, but one that causes us, the more we know him, the more that we would love him. And that's why we would seek to know him truthfully. He says, I pray that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment. Okay, the third thing there. That their love would abound with discernment. Or you could put the word insight there. This is a practical application of the knowledge that we've received. Overflowing love for God and one another, coupled with truth, leads to a practical understanding of how to live, an insight into how to live. I pray that your love would abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. And then he says, so that, there's something coming from this. This is gonna bring something. When my love is abounding for God and one another with knowledge and all discernment, it's going to produce a kind of life in me, right? This is just some kind of a Christian practice of praying, even though praying is great. This prayer that Paul is praying for them, that their love would abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that something would happen in them. Love with all knowledge, love with all insight leads us to a particular way of living. It changes how we love and it changes how we live. So that, what does he say? So that you may approve that which is excellent. You would be able to approve or know the excellent way to live. And I think it's interesting to use the word excellent here. Paul is not talking about them choosing between right and wrong. Not just talking about that, at least. He's talking about them knowing the difference between good and best or excellent. Right? He said, I pray that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may be able to approve that which is excellent. To know the best way to go forward. Not just a good way, but the best way. He says, I pray that you would approve that which is excellent, that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And this is the work that God is going to complete in us, right? You're not pure and blameless today. You're probably not going to be pure and blameless tomorrow. Paul's prayer is that their love would abound with knowledge and all discernment so they may be able to prove that which is excellent so that they would be blameless and pure in the day of Christ Jesus. Ken Hughes said it this way about this. He said, Paul's prayer for them, for the Philippians, is to live a pure, morally transparent life, free from stumbling, and thus stand upright and pure on that day in the dazzling presence of Christ who knows all. Oh, to pray for each other like that. To pray for each other that we would be found pure and blameless in the day of Christ Jesus. So that you may be able to prove that which is excellent, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, so that, number three, so that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. This is the result of the prayer that Paul prays for them, right? I pray that you, your love may be on more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve that which is excellent, so that you may be pure and blameless the day of Christ, so that you may have the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Fruit of the Spirit. He talks about these fruit in Galatians chapter 5, or this fruit. I said these. It's this. It's singular, okay? Even though it's listed as many characteristics, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Is Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. That's what he is praying they will be filled with. Right? That they may be able to prove that which is excellent, be found pure and blameless the day of Christ Jesus. They may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That is love. Be filled with joy, be filled with peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what Paul is praying they would be filled with. Why is this? What's the purpose of all this? Verse 11. All of this to the glory and praise of God. Right? He says in verse 11, to the glory and praise of God. You may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's the goal here, right? Not for them to be good people. It's not just for them to do good things. The goal of them living this way, of approving of that which is excellent, of being pure and blameless in the day of Christ, of having the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the goal of that is all to the glory and praise of God. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name be glory. Where Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. Not you can be, but you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand it gives light to everyone in the house. And he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and do what? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All of this that Paul is praying for the church in Philippians, Jesus is telling us to do in Matthew. That we should live this way. We approve that which is excellent. Be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. All to the glory and praise of God. That we would do these things. We would live our lives and shine our lights in such a way that people would see our good works. And the goal would be they would give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Last point and we're done. Okay? All of this, okay? All of this is the work that God has begun in you. This is what God has begun to do in you in Jesus Christ. If you're following Jesus, this is what God has began in you. And this is what God's going to continue doing in you. And this is what God is going to complete in you. He is going to do that. He began this good work in us. This is what he is doing in us. He's wanting us to be a people that are thankful, be a people that are abounding in love and knowledge and discernment. He's wanting us to be a people that are more and more, as we follow him, approving that which is excellent, more and more being found blameless and pure, more and more being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That's what he's wanting to do in us. That's what he is doing in us. That's what he began that in us when we trusted Christ. He's doing that in us now, and there's coming a day, thank God, he's going to complete that work in us. And look, for you, for me, some seasons it might be a little slower work than other seasons. You might have been like, yeah, I had a slow season for 30 years. Okay, but this year, what if we pursued these things together? Like, what if we pursued knowledge of God so that our love would abound more and more? What if we pursued that which is excellent instead of that just which is okay or good? What if we pursued being a people that are pure and blameless? We're not going to be perfect at that. You're going to fail miserably at that. But that doesn't mean we can't pursue those things. What if we asked the Spirit to produce the fruit of righteousness in our hearts more and more this year? That maybe in the past we have not been marked by these things, but this year we could be a people that are marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? The work that God is wanting to do in us. He's already began this. He's continuing it, and he's going to complete it. But may it be that this year we would live that way. That is what God calls us to, okay, as Christians. This is the life that God calls us to live. This is how God calls us to love. And can I tell you, we have a world that desperately needs to see that in us. That they would know that we are Christians by our love for one another. That we would pursue these things. We would not be confused with this world. We would be other than this world. Okay? We'd be different than this world. We're not from this world. We're not for this world. We're sojourners and exiles in this land, right? And that would cause us to be different, cause us to look different. But I would just leave you with this, okay? Leave you with this last point. I pray you walk out of here encouraged by this. If you're following Jesus, the God who began this work in you is going to complete it, all right? And so I would just encourage you to breathe. Breathe. It's going to be okay. He's going to complete his work in you. He's the one that began the work. He's the one that's doing the work. He is the one that's going to complete the work. So if you're following Jesus, rest in that. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, he will begin that work in you today if you would just trust him. If you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, God would save you. He would forgive you of your sins and adopt you into his family if you will simply trust him. Man, we would love to see you do that. And if we can help you, if you want to talk to us about that, we're always available for you, both at the end of the service and during the week, okay? So anytime that you would want to talk to any of us about that, we would be honored to talk to you about that. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, I'm really glad that you're still working on us. I'm really, really thankful that 22-year-old Jeremy was not all you were going to do. And I'm really glad that 41-year-old Jeremy is not all the work you're going to do in my heart. That you began a good work, you're continuing it, and you're going to complete it. And we can rest in that. And Lord, I pray that we would hear that, and that would not cause us to have a license to do whatever we wanted to do. We'd hear that and go, man, I want to follow Jesus this year. I want to be a person that abounds in love. That abounds in love, that has knowledge and discernment. God, make us a people that are pursuing that which is excellent. That are seeking to be pure and blameless. God, Work in us to be a people that are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. And God, help us to be thankful and full of joy for who you are and for what you're doing, not just in our lives, but in the lives of our brothers and sisters as well. Lord, I do pray. I'm so thankful that you are making us these people. And my prayer is you would make us these people more and more and more. God, help us be the people that you are making us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.